This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Planting season is just about in full swing, and this morning we'll spend our time listening to some advice from a crop specialist with M&M Service Company. Matt Boston covers northern Montgomery and Macoupin counties for M&M Service, and we talked about nitrogen management, burn down options, and instructions to follow when using Monsanto's Xtendimax herbicide.
Most of the nitrogen was applied in the, here in the northern Macoupin and Montgomery territory I'm speaking of, because our southern territory may be a little different, but most of the ammonia was applied last fall with just a little bit of to go here in the spring, which puts us in great shape for this spring. Nitrogen, of course, is the number two input cost to growers, so it's important we have the right amount of nitrogen out there for a high-demanding crop. You know, with most of the ammonia put on last fall, we would need to be utilizing tools to determine where our nitrogen may be sitting. So this winter, of course, as we know, we had less rainfall than what we did last winter. So, you know, coming into last winter, I was probably having talks with growers on where our nitrogen may be sitting and what state of the nitrogen we're currently at. But once ammonia enters the soil, you know, it binds the soil particles and moisture. So, but studies have shown with the right conditions, it does not take long to convert to that nitrate form, which is NO3. And that form is, of course, the leachable form of nitrogen that we got to be concerned with. With the early warm up this winter and spring, and now plenty of moisture, of course, there's no doubt, you know, in my mind, we have converted some nitrogen to the leachable form. However, I feel we have lost probably very little to none at all, but it's important for producers to know the nitrogen they threw out there could be in the nitrate form. So we need to be utilizing tools out in the marketplace, such as, you know, Climate Corporation or the 360 soil scan that we hold here at M&M Service, that we can kind of track that nitrogen and see where our nitrogen is, especially in the nitrate form.
Talk a little bit more about those tools that you mentioned. How do those work, if you can explain it in a not too complicated way? How does it find the nitrogen, or how is it telling you where it's at?
Yeah, so, you know, anhydrous ammonia, when it's applied in the soil, it moves up and down, of course, based on many environmental factors. The nitrogen cycle is a total microbial process. So as we get warm temperatures, soil temperatures above 50 degrees, those microbes start waking up and feeding on the nitrogen in the soil that eventually converts it to that leachable form. And that's the form we got to be concerned about. So, you know, the 360 soil scan here at M&M, we host two of those. It's pretty much just like taking an ordinary soil sample. So you want to probe down either 6 inches to 12 inches, depending on, you know, I guess your preference, what you want to do, but I recommend doing both to see the level of where our nitrogen is sitting, because, you know, if our nitrogen is in the nitrate form, it's very mobile in soil. So as we get more rainfall, that's going to start moving deeper and deeper in the soil profile, and of course, get in the tile drains, and of course, we know where that leads to, creeks and those sorts of things. So, you know, all it is just a soil test on the 360 soil scan to track that. And, of course, it only tracks the nitrate, not the ammonium. And that's what I guess I'll reiterate to growers, is that both forms of nitrogen, the ammonium and the nitrate, are available for uptake in that crop. So that's the reason N-serve in the fall is very, very important, because it actually slows that process from NH4 to NO3 nitrate. So then that keeps more of our nitrogen in a stable form. You know, when we look at the Climate Corporation, and a lot of growers probably out there have heard of the Climate Corporation, they do extensive research at a lot of farms in this, you know, Midwest, all across the geography that they cover, to help us kind of put an algorithm together on where our nitrogen may be sitting based on all those environmental factors. So they take into consideration tillage, amount of rainfall, the soil temperature, those sorts of things. So it's more of a technological-based process or software that you can use to try to track your nitrogen through the growing season. But the 360 soil scan is kind of the ground truth method. So we can look at that technology all day long and say, okay, you know, that might be the case. Well, we can ground truth it, especially with the 360 soil scan, to help us read those nitrate levels.
Well, either process, it's very interesting, and I would say, you know, there's a lot of things to consider. You're not only considering the weather, but you also have to understand, I guess, the chemical properties of these substances and how they work after you apply them. So you've got some science involved with this, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, most definitely. And like I said, with nitrogen being the number two input cost to growers, it's especially important to be able to utilize these tools and track those.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, we'll move on to the next topic we wanted to cover, and we wanted to talk about burn down options. Obviously, we want to clear those fields before we're planting, so let's talk about that a little bit and your thoughts there.
Yeah, so going along, of course, with the mild winter and now plenty of moisture, especially in this northern Macoupin and Montgomery and across the whole M&M service trade territory, I might add, we sit here, as most people know, we sit here looking across fields with a purple or green glaze, you know, on growers that didn't utilize maybe a fall burn down. Of course, growers went out in that February time frame when it was bone dry and tried to tear some of these winter annuals out. Well, the bad thing about that is, of course, and we didn't expect that, that would be a great option. We received a rain shortly after that, which rerouted a great deal of winter annuals. So with the abundance of rain over the last couple weeks, those winter annuals are thriving when we really can't do anything about it and get out there in the fields. You know, like you mentioned at the start, we're actually starting to dry up here in this territory where we can get some spray rigs out. But however, with being so close to planting and how, I guess, slow the kill is with a 2,4-D or Roundup option, we might have to be considering a product that gives a quicker kill. So, you know, here out of the Girard location, we've been running a lot of Sharpen, which is a great product to use. Sharpen at 1 ounce rate is a safe product for corn and bean burn down, and it has little to no plant back restrictions. So, you know, growers have that option to get in, still come in there and plant corn right after, plant corn or soybeans after this Sharpen is put on with a quick kill. And that still gives them the option to utilize their main residuals that they already planned for, you know, in the springtime.
Important things to be thinking about, and that's what you mentioned about the kill time. It is getting really close to planting, so definitely important to be thinking about. And I guess I'll just add, if anyone is listening that doesn't have a farming background, those purple flowers are pretty to look at, but not something we want in our fields when we go to plant.
No, that's for sure. You know, of course, the true definition of a weed is a plant out of place, and for how many people think they're real pretty, they're definitely out of place. So us ag folks, we really don't like seeing them, and we'll do a lot of measures to try to get rid of them. However, you know, this is late winter, early spring. It's been a really true eye-opener for a lot of these growers that, I guess, did not utilize a fall burndown. You know, we need to be thinking about, you know, start and clean, stay clean kind of method. So, you know, we have great burn down options in the fall to keep us clean up until this time frame where we don't have to be worrying about this. Right now, we could just be focused on getting the groundwork, planting the corn or soybeans, and still coming in with our corn and soybean residuals at that time.
Sure. Well, always good to plan ahead, and as you said, things you can think about in the fall and won't pinch you on time as much. Matt, I guess the third thing we wanted to cover, something new for this growing season, the dicamba herbicide is now licensed to be used for farmers who plant those beans with those traits. So things you wanted to mention about that.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I'm a Roundup baby. And a lot of these crop specialists, young crop specialists, are as well. So we've been just used to Roundup. But we're at a point in agriculture where older chemistries are starting to come back around due to the high intensity of tougher weeds and more resistant weeds. You know, I've had the pleasure to talk to growers about the newest application method of dicamba. However, I will reiterate, it's not new technology. It's just a new form of application of dicamba over the top, of course, to establish dicamba tolerant soybeans. So there are a few key things to take away from utilizing dicamba. You know, first and foremost, I guess I'll add, this chemistry is not the new Roundup. So I want to make sure we're still using our soil applied residuals in soybeans in combination with dicamba to have an effective chemical program. If we abuse this chemistry, we will be to the point resistant quicker than Roundup resistance, of course, and we know that. You know, the second thing I wanted to touch on is timing of application is key with this product. You know, just like any label will state, killing weeds at an optimum height is key. We recommend utilizing dicamba when the weeds are 4 inches or less. So, you know, a 4-inch tall water hemp, believe it or not, can have anywhere from 9 to 12 growing points on it. And so with dicamba being a coverage product, it is important to hit all growing points on that plant for adequate kill. You know, there's additional key takeaways to take note, but, you know, for time's sake, Katie, I won't dive deep into them, but, you know, utilizing the right adjuvants, spray volume, nozzles, boom height, wind speed, and neighboring crops are key. One big thing for all listeners out there that may be thinking about using, whether it's the Monsanto's Extendamax or the DuPont's Texapan or some sort of dicamba over the top to their dicamba-tolerant soybeans, absolutely no AMS should be used as a tank mix partner, of course, with your dicamba choice. It affects the salt formulation, and, of course, that will increase the potential for volatility.
Well, sounds great. Matt, thanks so much for the update. And final thoughts or things you'd like to say to farmers as we kick off the busy planting season?
Just have a safe and prosperous spring. I know it's, you know, guys are starting to get in the back in the fields here, working a little ground, especially to the eastern part of the territory. So just be safe. And if you have any questions, of course, contact your local crop specialist or go to the website, M&MServiceCompany.com, for more information.
And once again, that report comes from Matt Boston, a crop specialist who covers northern Macoupin and Montgomery counties for M&M Service Company. And that's all we have time for today on your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.